We've ministered in the assemblies of God numbers of times around the nation, the churches of God, Pentecostal wholeness, and we've been fortunate enough to have Baptist and Catholic and Methodist churches of God and assemblies of God and all kind of folks converted to God and filled with the Holy Ghost and seen them go on for the Lord. This is the first time I've ever been to this assembly of God, but not with this assembly of God preacher. I feel real privileged to be here in Brother Wilson's church and with you people here. To me, it's a real privilege. Any time that I speak to God's people, I feel like Solomon of old. When Solomon looked at the people of God, and he didn't feel like that he was capable of speaking to the people of God. I told my wife today, there's a gentleman sitting here behind us that came over, and he found us over in the park over here where we have our little trailer home park, and he came over and tapped on the door and went to the door, and he said, Brother Pikes, and I want to pay your rent here as long as you're going to be here. And I tried my best to talk him out of it, but I couldn't. I just couldn't talk him out. He was determined to do it, and finally I consented to let him go ahead and do it after I saw that he was determined he was going to do it anyway. And I told my wife when he left, I said, Betty, I said, we're just not worthy of people like that. Just people that look you up, you know, want to do something for God. I said, I just don't feel worthy of folks like that. So I'm real thankful to be here tonight. I consider this a great privilege. And being here in this church reminds me of the church that we were in over in Athens, Georgia a few months ago. It's made like that church was. And the Lord really blessed there. We had close enough by where our own folks came, and we had people. The place was jam-packed and out in the aisles and out in outside and sitting out in the yard too. And God blessed us. We had some good services. And this place reminds me of it here. So I want to say again that I'm real thankful to be here. And I don't claim to be anything but a child of God. That's all I claim to be. And that's enough for me. To be a child of God, that's enough for anybody.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. I don't see how you could want to be anything greater than that. I was talking to a fellow here a while back, and sometimes people, they're bad to jump the gun on things. They don't understand. And there's so much false going on till everybody's on the defensive. And they get so much on the defensive until they get to where they can't receive anymore. I believe in being on the defensive. I wouldn't try for any reason in the world to try to tear down your fence or to use a lot of psychology and try to maneuver things around to where I could get you into my hands for nothing in the world. I said that because of a gentleman sitting here. He felt like that's what I was going to do. But that's not what I'm here for. I'm not here for psychology. I come here because I love Jesus. And I wouldn't try to do anything for nothing in the world to get you into my control. If I can't preach to you and the Holy Spirit can't get control of you, the best thing that I can do is leave you alone. Because if I got control of something that the Holy Ghost didn't want, I'd be in trouble. So I'm not here for that purpose. I'm here to love you, to talk with you, to fellowship you. And I don't feel like a lot of the people out in the world that's in denominationalism or non-denominationalism or denominationalism either. But a lot of people out in the world, you know, that's in non-denominationalism, they're fighting denominations and warring against everything that everybody else is doing, you know, and tearing down everything but what they're doing. And it seems like everybody wants to tear everybody else down. It just seems to be in them, you know. And that's pretty good if they can tear everybody else down. It doesn't leave anybody but them. But I'd hate to live in a world all by myself, wouldn't you?
Amen.
Even God didn't want a bunch of puppets. Amen. God wanted somebody could think for themselves and come and reason with him. And if we try to make puppets out of everybody, well, we're defeating the cause of Christ and we're going to have a lonely life.
Amen.
I like to hear people say, no, I don't believe it like that. And then I can sit down, you know, I say, well, let me prove it to you. That gives me a good ground for preaching.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If everybody said, well, I'm with you, well, that don't give me no ministry. Hallelujah. Love the Lord.
Amen.
So I thank God tonight for versatility in the earth, and God also likes for us to reason. How many of you know that Moses took the boldness to even talk with God and say, "Don't do it, Lord"? We wouldn't dare do that, would we? But Moses did. The Lord said, "I'm going to destroy him." Moses said, "Don't do that, Lord. Don't do that." Old brother Abraham said, "Lord," said, it ain't like the judge of all the earth to destroy the righteous and the wicked together." He said, "That's not right." You know, God warned him to do that. A lot of times God might bring something around to see if we're going to stand for the truth. He wants to see where we're at, you know. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I thank the Lord tonight for the good spirit that I feel here, the kind of attitude you got. And like I said, I'm not trying to tear anything down. I'm trying to win souls for God. I love the Lord, and I'm trying to win souls for God and trying to help unite the body of Christ in the Word. I've got a lot to say to you tonight. You probably won't stay and hear it. But I got a lot that I'd like to say tonight. We look like everything is working real good the way that I see it in Revelation. I felt like the meeting would switch over, and it did.
Hallelujah.
And I'm just thankful tonight to have something from the Lord to share with you. And if God will let us get into it, well, we're going to try our best to do it. I'm a real sensitive preacher. And you know, Jesus was too. In other words, if you hunger and you thirst, well, the Lord, He'll feed you.
Amen.
But I can't do a thing for you. I'll just be honest about it. I can't do a thing for you. I don't have the ability. I'm not a polished scholar. I'm just not capable. But I'll tell you what, if you hunger and thirst after the things of God, there's a fountain open in the house of David.
Yeah.
And you'll learn there's still God in the earth. He's real. He's real. But he can, I can't. He can. And when I say I can't, I really mean that. A lot of preachers, you know, they say things to be modest, but I'm just telling you the truth. I absolutely can't. But there's one thing, that if you're hungering and thirsting after the things of God, God will send those things to you and open up your heart that you might receive them when others will be just passed on by. Isn't that right? You know, I can take the attitude, well, I know it, I don't need anything, and I'm satisfied, and God, He'll let me stay that way.
Amen.
A lot of people don't believe that, but the Bible said God will turn you over to a reprobate mind. How many believe that?
Amen.
That's true. It said, if you have not a love for the truth, this is truth, isn't it?
Amen.
It said, my words are truth. So because you don't love my word, He said, I'll turn you over to your own thinking. How do you know your own thinking is a reprobate mind?
Amen.
Bible said, lean not to thine own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all your heart. Isn't that right? When you start leaning to your own understanding, you start reasoning out according to that old tree of knowledge, then you're in trouble. But if you'll come to the Word, as God said, and let us reason together and reason with the Word, it'll work out right, won't it?
Right.
Hallelujah. Show them the old reprobate mind, reprobate unto every good work, is the old carnal reasoning. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded, that is word-minded, is life and peace, isn't it? All right. Let me get me just a swallow of this water here. Now, while I'm drinking a little water, turn over to the book of Leviticus. And if I seem just a little restless tonight, you bear with me because, you know, I've been trying to stay in all day and for the last few days in my meetings. And, of course, when I'm out of meeting, I hardly get my foot on the ground because we have so much counsel day and night. And when I'm in meeting, I stay right in talking to the Lord and trying to reason with Christ and trying to be honest with God's people. And it makes you feel a little bit uncomfortable, you know. You don't get out and take the exercise that you'd like to have. And I'm not much for playing golf. Brother Robertson then plays golf, but I'm not much for playing golf. Brother Branham used to go hunting, and I don't seem to have time to go hunting. And, of course, he took time. He had a reason. I'm sure he got up there to be with God in the mountains. But somehow my ministry's been different. And so it really makes it hard when you just stay in all the time like that. It really makes it hard. But God still works with me and still helps me. Hallelujah. Turn over to the book of Leviticus in the 17th chapter. My wife usually asks me if I've got a handkerchief, but she didn't tonight, and I didn't tell her. All right, in the 17th chapter of the book of Leviticus, and I'd like to say that I'm thankful tonight to have Brother Delmer Baldwin, a great man of God, a 10 evangelist. Thank you very kindly, brother. Great tent evangelist, has been on the field now for years and done a lot of wonderful work. Got a powerful ministry. I'm thankful to have him here with us tonight from over in Olive Branch, Mississippi. He was with us one night, just a few nights back, and I see other people that are here from Olive Branch. I see Brother Delmer's son-in-law, and I also see my brother-in-law here from over in the areas of Holly Springs, and my sister. And I don't see some of them that said they would be here tonight. I wonder what happened. There was some of them that said they would definitely be here, and I don't know why they're not here. Maybe they're just running late, or maybe they didn't know about the change. They were. Some of them has been up yonder the last few nights that we were there and said they'd very definitely be back tonight with others. So I don't know where they're at, but maybe they'll come on in a little later. All right. Chapter 17, and I'm going to ask you to do something for me tonight, folks. I'm going to say this again. I appreciate you standing for the reading of the Word. That's wonderful that you have that kind of courtesy for God. But I want to say this. I am the kind of a preacher that I just can't come in and start jumping and shouting and running and making a lot of noise and making you feel good. Now, I could do that if I wanted to do it. I mean, I know how to do it. I've done it. But I just can't do it. There's something on the inside of me that when I start to do that, it'll say, I don't want that, I don't want that, I don't want that. So I have to stop. I have to be honest with God. I can't do it. I can't work up anything. I can't manufacture anything. It just ain't in me to do it. I believe that it's by the Spirit of God. And I believe if God's Spirit doesn't care enough for us to come down here, or if we're not in shape enough to cause God to come down in reality to bless our soul, then we have to leave it alone. So when I come to talk with you, the first thing I do, I try to talk with you to collect your thoughts. The Bible said on the day of Pentecost, they were all in one mind and one accord. Isn't that right? Now when we come to church, we're in many minds and many accords. Isn't that right? But if I can talk with you from the Word, and I could collect every spirit, God's a spirit, if I could collect every spirit and get every spirit under my control tonight through the Holy Spirit, then I can give my spirit to God, and your spirit is to God through the ministry, and then all together we can be in one mind and one accord. And the Bible said the Holy Ghost came as a mighty rushing wind, isn't that right? And they received something from God because he came down. So then when I talk to you, I try to talk with you, to make sense. I've heard preachers, they just preach so fast that you don't know what they're saying and they don't care what they're saying. I had one to come to my tabernacle and it looked like he was running a mile a minute. When he got through, when I got a chance to talk with him, I said, I'll just be honest with you. I said, I don't understand what you're saying. He said, I don't either. I thought, well, what kind of minister is that? But he was preaching all over the country, So I like to talk with you and make sense so you can understand what I'm saying and I can understand it. And then as we talk, we just drift off into the Holy Spirit and get out there somewhere in the deep waters of God and wait around. That's why the way I like to do it. So I want to read a little from the chapter 17 in the book of Leviticus. Now, I don't believe in just coming bringing a lecture. I just believe in having, making good conversation. The Bible said reasoning together until we can get off into the mind of God and see what revelation is. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons and unto all the children of Israel, and say unto them, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, saying, what man soever there be of the house of Israel that killeth an ox or lamb or goat in the camp, or that killeth it out of the camp, and bringeth it not into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer an offering unto the Lord before the tabernacle of the Lord, blood shall be imputed unto that man. He has shed blood, and that man shall be cut off from among his people, to the end that the children of Israel may bring their sacrifices, which they offer in the open field, even that they may bring them unto the Lord, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation unto the priest, and offer them for peace offerings unto the Lord. And the priest shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar of the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and burn the fat for a sweet savor unto the Lord. And they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils, after whom they have gone a-whoring. This shall be a statute forever unto them throughout their generations. And thou shalt say unto them, whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers, which sojourn among you, that offer a burnt offering or sacrifice, and bringeth it not into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer it unto the Lord, even that man shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourn among you eat blood. And whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof, and cover it with dust. For it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. And every soul that eateth that which dieth of itself, or that which was torn with beast, whether it be one of you, your own country, or a stranger, he shall both wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even. Then shall he be clean. But if he wash them not, nor bathe his flesh, then he shall bear his iniquity. All right, that's reading quite a bit there, a whole chapter. But I'd like to take just a thought here concerning the 11th verse, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. You may be seated. I want to say also that Brother Delmer is supposed to set his tent out in New Mexico. Some of you probably may not be traveling that far, but in the event you are, you can stop out with him, and the Lord is kind to us. We're planning to be out there with him some in the New Mexico meeting too, in Carlsbad, New Mexico. According to what I understood in Revelation, there was to be a meeting at this time, that something would take place out there. Who was it I was talking to? I was talking to some of the brethren about it. And sure enough, Brother Delmer is considering setting his tent out there in New Mexico. So I know that the Lord is moving by revelation to do something. All right, now, you know, there is so much to be said about the blood until I don't hardly know where to start. The blood is mentioned, I think, about 700 times in the Bible. That's a lot of times, isn't it? And I think that one of the greatest studies today would be concerning the blood. I think there's probably more emphasis placed on the blood than anything else that I know of. Not only on the blood of human beings, but on the blood of Jesus Christ. In the church, we talk about the blood. In the hospital, they talk about the blood. And people who are raising cattle and different things, they are always concerned about the blood, because the health of everything is in the blood. The life of everything is in the blood. And if there is no healthy blood, there is no healthy people. Is that right? Amen. If we don't have the blood atonement in the church, we don't have a church, do we? Amen. If we don't have healthy blood, then we don't have any health in our body. The Bible speaks of people that believe in Christ, that are called believers, that they have so much power over sin and sickness, that signs will follow them, that they can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, that if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They can handle serpents, and serpents can't hurt them, according to the Scripture. Paul, at one occasion, a viper latched onto him and bit him. The poisonous venom that went into his blood veins apparently met something that was stronger than it was. And when it went into the blood veins of Paul, there apparently was something so far greater than the power of that poison, until it was as nothing. Isn't that right? Now this is supposed to be what every believer has. We're supposed to have within our blood veins something so great that even if poison went into our body, that would have no effect on us. Whether it be a snake bite or whether it be poison that got in through other means, it shouldn't have any effect on us. We're supposed to have something down inside of our body, in our blood genetics, that if any kind of disease came near us, it would automatically kill it. Nothing could affect us. We're supposed to be a healthy, whole, wholesome people. Is that right? I believe that something has happened that people have been turned away from the real things of God. Or either there's something that has taken place, and I don't know just exactly what it is, that has caused people not to be able to latch on to what God promised to the church.
That's right. Let him know.
If they do have it, then you are made to wonder, why then are people so sick? The Bible said that in the days of the Israelites, there was not one sick person among them. Isn't that right? Though there was many thousands of people that was brought out of the land of Egypt, but there wasn't one sick among them. Not one. Why? Why was that? It was because they had that special something in their blood that God intended for you and I to have. God said there's something in the blood. I wish tonight, and I believe that you're a good congregation. You're very attentive, and I believe that you're a good congregation. But I wish tonight it was possible for me to have the time tonight and you to have the interest tonight to carefully go into something and explain what I understand, what I see has happened to the church world. Because, folks, we've come down at the end of the trail. I said we've come to the closing of the day. A great man, Vep Evelis, a songwriter in the Church of God, wrote a song called The End of the Trail. Vep's a great man. He's arranged some of my own songs. But I believe that we've come down to the end of the trail. I believe this is the last step of the way. And I believe that the people are asleep. I said the other night, and I know that this sounds like an insult to the church, and I don't mean it that way. But I said the other night, I said that the entire church world is asleep. All of the virgins was asleep. All of the foolish virgins was asleep. All of the wise virgins was asleep. Everybody was asleep at the midnight hour. Isn't that right? We don't like to think like that, do we? But you're going to have to admit that you are lower in the spirit than you've ever been in your life. You're going to have to confess that you need God more than you've ever needed Him in your life, as far as the oppression, the sickness, as far as having courage to get up and do something. You're going to have to confess that there's been a dark cloud or something that's been hovering over the church. It's a true fact, not only over the church, but it's hovering over the world. Now then, what is it? Folks, there's supposed to be a supernatural power, a supernatural resistance, a supernatural ability that's able to dispel the gloom and move the clouds away. I said there's supposed to be a sunlight somewhere that can penetrate and come shining through and make us to get a hold of the things of God. Isn't that right? There's got to be something somewhere. Something somewhere that's for you and I. God has great things for the church. I know because I've shared some of them. I've gotten in on some of the secrets of God. And I've been caught away with God, and I've seen things that I know that if the church world had, that they would become a new church. That they would become a new life. And they would kindle a new interest, and there'd be a new move of God such as there has never been in all the history of the world. I know that for sure. I know that for sure. But you know, when we look at an individual, we see a man, flesh and bones, walking around, and that's as far as we get. The trouble is that we can't get past the carpenter's son.
Right.
We've had so many preachers, so many lectures, so many things that's supposed to be new, so many gimmicks, so many things that's supposed to rapture the church. We've seen lying signs and wonders, and occasionally we've seen some real miracles of God.
Yeah.
We've had ministers going up and down the road with their big tents that would have you think that you can get miracles like bushel baskets of bananas. That's right. You can have a blind eye open that's a real, genuine miracle. Somebody goes to tell somebody else, they'd say, that's wonderful, but brother so-and-so had 50 healed the other night at one time. Tell somebody to get up out of a wheelchair and God really heal a cripple. Somebody said, that's wonderful, but 500 of them got up the other night at one time. Lying, signs, and wonders. What is it? The church has been deceived. The church has gone astray. Why? Because they didn't love the truth of God's word. When God told them to live right, to do right, to walk right, they wouldn't do it. And God has sent among them ravening wolves that has peddled everything from handkerchiefs to books. They have taken their money, they have taken their houses, they've taken their lands, they've taken everything. Isn't that right? Old brother Aaron, he didn't know what to do when Moses left. Moses had the message. And when Moses left, brother Aaron didn't know what to do because he was dependent on Moses. So then the people said, we want a revival, Aaron. Aaron said, the only way I know to do it is take up an offering. Isn't that right? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That wasn't the way Moses did it. But Aaron said, the only way to do it is to take up an offering. Said, everybody bring what you got. And so they started to bring it. They started to bring in their earrings. They started to bring in their rings. They started to bring in everything they had. And sure enough, they had a revival. It wasn't long. They were shouting and they were hollering and they were jumping and they were having a whooping good time. Are you listening? I said people were shouting and hollering and having a real good time. But there was still something wrong. What was it? The people were still sick. I said the people were still sick. The people were still in poverty. The people were still having trouble. Hallelujah. Some of the great big tents of today, they take up $30,000 and $60,000 in one offering. But the people still go home sick. The people holler and they shout and they run and jump, but there's no balm in Gilead for them. Is that right? They go back to the same old things of the world. They live just like they did the day before. The preacher didn't tell them anything to help them or to shape them their lives. But the preacher got a great big offering, didn't he? Amen. Finally, Moses come down off the mountain right in the middle of their revival. The Bible said God has taken the hypocrite by surprise. Somebody said, where is this man Moses at? We don't know nothing about him. Said, we need a revival. Isn't that right? But the Bible said Moses came down right in the middle of the revival. And when Moses come down off the mountain, he heard the shouting, he heard the jumping, and he heard the hollering. Moses said, what's going on down there? I'm sure somebody saw Brother Moses are having a revival down there. He said, well, it don't sound like a shout of victory to me. And the Bible said that Moses ground up the money and the offerings and put it in the water and made the people drink of the water, and the Bible said the water was bitter. A lot of these big-time fellers that's pulled the wool over people's face, that's taken millions of dollars from them, a lot of those people have taken homes, they've taken land, they've taken bread out of the children's mouth. And they've promised the people liberty when they themselves were the servants of corruption. That's right. But God is going to grind it all up. And the Bible refers to people as waters. And God's going to put it in the waters. And the people are going to be bitter. It's going to be hard for them to swallow down. When they realize what they've done with their substance.
And when these evangelists have to face the truth of the angry people. I remember a man in service years ago when I was in the Air Force. A little something happened. He took up an offering under false pretense, saying something that happened to his mother or one of the loved ones. And the men found out he lied to them. And the superiors had him stand out in front of them. And those angry men, those angry soldiers, walked up and down in the front of him. And you could tell that they were just boiling with anger. If the superiors would have just turned them and listened on them, they'd have probably massacred the man. Because they'd so generously gift, hoping to do some good, and giving it a time when their paychecks hadn't come in, just what little they had to tide them over, they were pretty angry. I said they were pretty much upset. That's the way it's going to be when God lets this thing come out from under the cover and people see the condition and find out what they've done to them. Hallelujah. There's something that's coming such as the world has never known. Tonight, while I stand here and exhort you, while I stand here to try to tell you something that will encourage you, my heart is bleeding. My soul is on fire to bring you a real message tonight. I mean to bring you something from heaven, some great revelation of God that will open your hearts and open your minds. But I know down in my heart that I've got to say whatever I can, just whatever the people can receive or whatever I can get over, that it might stagger them and help them a little bit to get a vision, to get a hunger, to get a thirst, and to go on for Christ. Now, somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, if you had a chance to talk with me, you'd see that I'm a lot farther along in the Scriptures than you think. Some of you ladies would say, I've got a lot more depths than you could ever imagine. I'm sure that I've got men here with depths tonight. I'm sure that I've got some ladies here that's got some depths tonight. But at the same time, when you've only got two or three people in your midst that might be able to receive a revelation, and you've got many babes that's sitting around in the audience, you can't go to dishing out great big chunks of meat. You'll choke them to death. You love the Lord? Hallelujah. I had a vision. I was preaching out in California. I had a vision. It don't sound too good, but it was a vision of God. And the Lord showed me in a vision how I'd fed the church something that really caused the problem. Amen. I saw a vision of a Christmas morning. Just listen to this just for a minute. I saw a vision of Christmas morning. I saw a Christmas tree and beautiful gifts under it. And I thought I got up on that Christmas morning and had on pretty white socks. The Bible said, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy. Hallelujah. And I had on some beautiful white socks. I always like white socks anyway. And I got up that morning in the vision. I started in there where the children was. And I walked into a beautiful room with a shiny floor. And there was a Christmas tree and there was gifts all around it. When I walked in there, all of a sudden, one of the children's bowels broke loose and the whole floor was put in a mess. And in my beautiful white socks, I had to walk through it on a Christmas morning when the gifts was being given out. I said, oh God, I said, what kind of vision is this? I never had a vision like that in my life. I said, God, what kind of vision is this? And here's what he said to me. He said, Jesus Christ is resurrected from the dead. Said he rose from the dead and gave gifts unto men. He said, when you go to church, son, said it's a beautiful morning. A resurrection of giving gifts unto the church and unto mankind. So that's what Christmas represents. His tree, likening him unto the tree. That's right. So that's what it's for. And so this beautiful place with the cleanness of the church. He said, well, you're running a revival. And he said, those beautiful socks was the preparation of the gospel. And he said, in the time that you went in there to give the children gifts, he said, something was given to Strong's and said, it tore up the bowels of the children and said, some of them is causing a problem. I'm going to say something. Don't think I'm getting sacrilegious. But you ever heard of running off at the mouth? Hallelujah. I had said some strong things the night before. I had said some strong things. I thought they could take it. And I had said some strong things, but there was a lady preacher there. And she got a hold of them and she couldn't digest them. And it wasn't long before she had caused a spiritual mess all over the community by twisting up what I said and trying to explain it. You follow me? Hallelujah. Paul said, I count all my learning as dung. Are you listening? That's how people run off at the mouth, said, I count all his learning as dung. Isn't that right? They said that when they offered up the sacrifice of the goat and offered up the sacrifice of the bull, said they had to burn the dung outside the gate. Isn't that right? God don't want our carnal reasoning and our carnal mind in the kingdom of God. He's going to burn it with fire, because he said, I'll burn the chaff with fire, and he's going to burn it outside the gate. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. So I saw then what had caused the problem. When God revealed the vision to me, I went down to the lady and I found out it was exactly the way God said it. Hallelujah. He didn't make any mistake. It was right down to the T. Hallelujah. So then I try to be as careful as I can, because I don't want to give you something too strong for you. Hallelujah. Brother Wilson probably knows what I'm talking about. Amen. You might have some good folks, but sometimes they can cause you a lot of trouble. Hallelujah. Maybe this preacher get up here and try to preach the word to you, and somebody says, bless God, I'm going to see the overseer. Amen. That's right. So they run off to see the overseer. Amen. Try to cause him a little trouble. But I want to tell you something tonight. You'd be surprised at the condition of the overseer. Amen. Somebody said, what are you talking about? I said, you'd be surprised tonight if you know what was going on in the church. Hallelujah. You'd be surprised tonight if you knew that some of the overseers have been baptized in Jesus' name and won't let you know about it. Brother Pike happens to know about some things behind the curtains. I was in a church of God not too long ago. The brother let me in the church of God. We had good fellowship. He knew that I baptized in Jesus' name. He knew what I stood for. But he still wanted our ministry. I was there, and while I was there, one of his leading evangelists come in from the field. One of the great outstanding evangelists of the Church of God came in. Are you listening? Him and his wife came in from the field. And while they were visiting, I decided to get acquainted with them. I went up to get acquainted with them. They're sitting there at the table. And a few days had been there, and I hadn't heard them say anything about the name of the Lord. Hadn't heard them try to encourage the people going on. They were trying to get their offerings, trying to push their ministry, trying to continue on evangelism. And the Lord spoke to my heart and told me what was going on and showed me that they'd been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and was afraid that they'd put them out of the synagogue if they said anything about it. And they were great evangelists in the church of God, and he didn't want anybody to know it. Let me tell you something, folks. I don't try to embarrass anybody. Are you listening? I said, I don't try to embarrass anybody. If somebody's been baptized in the name of the Lord and they're trying to do what's right, get it over in wisdom to the people, I don't say anything. But the Bible said when God's given to you good, and it's in your power to do good, and then you hold back at sin. Hallelujah. So I just walked up while him and her was having him something to eat. And I said, hello, brother and sister, how are you? Good morning, Brother Pastor. I turned around and I said to the sister, I said, it's really something to be baptized in Jesus' name, ain't it? And I'll tell you what, I could just about choke you, you know. And I'll tell you what, it hit like a ton of bricks. And she didn't know what to say. And she began to shift around. The husband was there. He didn't know what to say. And the pastor of the church, he was there, and he didn't know what to say. So then when she was on the spot, she either had to deny it or confess it. And she shifted around, and finally she said, yes, I am baptized in Jesus' name, and so I'm glad of it. And boy, you better believe it was right in that camp. At midnight that night, that pastor and that evangelist was still going round and round out in that yard. Hallelujah. Amen. I preached baptism in Jesus' name in the church. I preached, and the man accepted it, and the people accepted it. But when he realized that that fellow undercover had been baptized in Jesus' name and not shared it with them, and he'd been supporting the ministry under false pretense, I tell you, he was really upset. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? I said, you need to get right with God, folks, if you ain't right. I was out in California not too long ago, out in Anaheim, California. I was preaching under a tent there. And they wanted me to go over and preach for the full gospel businessman. That, the breakfast. I went over and I preached for them. And I got up to preach. I thought I'd get a message that was suitable. And God said, the axe is laid under the root of the tree. And I said, Lord, I can't preach that at that full gospel businessman. Our fellowship, they don't understand that. I said, those people need something, you know, something mild. God said the axe is laid under the root of the tree. So I couldn't get anything else, and I just pushed it out of my mind. Finally, I thought, when I get over there, God, he'll give me something. I got up behind the pulpit, and I started searching. And when I got up there, God said, the axe is laid under the root of the tree. It's laid under the root of the tree, and that's all that you'll get. And I started preaching. That's all. I had to stand there like a dummy and preach. And I began to preach, the axe was laid under the root of the tree. Finally, they fell down on their face and they began to bow before God. And I found out that the woman had been baptized in Jesus' name. The president's wife had been baptized in Jesus' name. And he himself believed in Jesus' name and had it hid from the rest of the people. I said, it's time to wake up, folks. Thank God for a man like Brother Wilson, who reminds me of Martin Luther. How many feel it's time for a reformation? Amen. I said at Wittenberg, Germany, he just nailed them 95 theses up on the door and said, we're tired of the old paganistic practice. We're going on to the Word. Said the Bible said the just shall live by faith, and if the Bible said it, we don't care what the church says. We're going to do what the Bible said. Hallelujah. Faith is by the Bible, not by the church. It comes from the Bible. When you go back to the church and try to take what the church said, you go back to Catholic. That's what Catholics teach, is the church has the ultimate. But we teach it God has the ultimate. The Word has the ultimate. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word is the ultimate. Is that right? Your faith is going to save you by faith in the Word. There's no faith except faith in the Word. Somebody said when you depart from the church, you depart from the faith. There is but one church, and that's the church of the firstborn. When you depart from the Word, then you departed from the faith. Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. It's like Brother David Terrell. When we met Brother David Terrell down in the valley many years ago. And there we come to baptism in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I saw a vision where David was having a nervous breakdown. I went over to talk with him. God got a hold of the man. Finally, he wound up getting baptized. He took Brother Bobby Woodruff, another boy we led to Jesus' name baptism. He baptized Bobby. Bobby was pastor of the congregation of the Holiness Church. He baptized Bobby in the bathtub, and Bobby baptized him in the bathtub. Oh, Brother David didn't want to preach it. The years went by, and David just kind of coasted on it. Didn't preach it. Finally, come over to the Memphis area. And when his trucks pulled in down there, I met some of his men. I said, David coming here for revival? He said, yes. I said, is he preaching the name of the Lord? One said, yes. Another said, no. And I saw that it's crossed up. Brother David just come off of a long fast. He came in there and set his big tent in there. And when he set his big tent in there, he fell right in the middle of a bunch of Jesus' name folks. Not UPC, not Assembly of Jesus Christ, not a denomination, but people that love God. And he fell right in the midst of them, and he had to preach the truth. I said he was in a fix because he had a Jesus name church, and then people knew what the truth was. And they were looking for the truth. And that boy began to let go of the truth, and the Spirit of God so mightily come on that tent that it felt like bees buzzing under there. And God blessed him with a great revival, one of the greatest revivals he ever had, and God broke him loose. And he began to preach the name of the Lord Jesus. You love the Lord? Oh, Brother Franklin Walden, one of the Trinity brothers that's got church campground over in Canada and down here in South Georgia that's over the radios across the country, an outstanding man of God, sweeping the country for Christ with the full gospel businessmen behind him and the others. God spoke to my heart and said, son, I'm going to stir his nest, and he's going to call for you to come and baptize him in Jesus' name. And I told my wife, and I'll tell you, his daddy had rather to have taken a shotgun and shot him than have seen him baptized in Jesus' name. That's the truth. He was Church of God. And I'll tell you, he hated it. But sure enough, he called for me, and I went over there. I said, all right, if you want to be baptized, I'll baptize you. I took him down to the water hole and he said, wait a minute. He said, Brother Pike, I got to do something first. I said, what is it? He said, go by and get my daddy. I thought, oh my. Oh my. He had fought me. My, how he'd fought me. And he'd fought everybody around there. But God made him stand and hold the coat of his own son as his son was emerged in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And today he's sweeping the nation with baptism in Jesus' name and preaching the infilling of the Holy Ghost. You love the Lord? All over the country, people are coming to the truth. They're accepting the Word of God. Let me tell you something. Somebody said, bless God, get baptized in Jesus' name and get out of the assembly of God. That ain't what I'm saying. God said it was going to come into the assemblies of God, and it's going to come into the church of God, and it's going to come into the others, and God's going to run the devil out, and God's going to keep his people. Hallelujah. Praise God. God ain't got no room for cowards anyway. Amen. What we need is some Martin Luthers. Amen. Take a backbone and say, bless God, this is my church. I put my money in it. I stood here, and God's going to stand with me. And you bunch of hypocrites are going to get out. Amen. Hallelujah. Have a backbone like a saw log. Amen. God's fixing to start a reformation, and he's fixing to start a move of God. And I'll tell you, from all over the world, you'd be surprised how many hundreds of thousands are ready to line up and begin to march. I'm going to tell you something, folks. We're in the end of the world. Did you know the last thing that the Bible said would happen? That God would pour out his wrath upon the earth because the people would turn to Sodom. How do you know that? The last thing he said, that the man would leave the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one for another, working that which is unseemly. He said it would happen in the last times, and that's the thing that he burned Sodom and Gomorrah for. They just gave a report just a few days ago that in Atlanta, Georgia, that there's 150,000 Sodomites in that city alone. A report just come in the paper that one of the leading professors has been a Sodomite all down through the years and finally confessed to his wife and his daughters. I said, that's why God burned the place up. God will put up with a lot of things, but he won't put up with that. Amen. Somebody said, I'm glad it ain't in the church. You'd be surprised. I said, you'd be surprised if the evangelist wanted to pull out the tares. Amen. If it wasn't for getting the wheat, if they just wanted to take the cover off of things, you'd be surprised what's growing in the church, my brother. Hallelujah. Somebody said, we're having a revival. Amen. That's right. They've had a revival of lying signs and wonders. I made the statement. I said something about it the other night. I predicted that the Catholic Church would go Pentecostal. I said that all of the world would go Pentecostal. The Church of God will unite with the Catholic Church. Watch and see. The Assemblies of God will unite with the Catholic Church. Somebody said, I don't believe it. Watch and see if it happens. I tell you, the best way to do the Bible is to try the Spirit. If it comes to pass, and you know I told you the truth. If it doesn't come to pass, you know I lied to you. That means I'm a false prophet if I lie to you. But if it does come to pass, the Bible said fear that prophet. Isn't that right? Somebody said God said fear the word. The Bible said fear that prophet. That's what he said. Amen. Because you got the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's the trouble with the world today. They don't have any fear of the ministry. How do you know that's true? I said they don't have any fear of the ministry. They fear the church, but they don't fear the ministry. But the Bible said, will ye not be afraid, seeing that he is the minister of God, seeing that he beareth not the sword in vain, seeing that he sat there to execute judgment upon him to do evil. Said he's God's minister. Is that right? Hallelujah. He's got the power to admit your sin or retain your sin, my brother. Judgment begins at the house of God. Can I say a few things right here? I wonder tonight, we feel like that the church has taught us just exactly right. Now, I want you to listen, folks. I'm not trying to tear down anything that you believe. But if I'm a true man of God, if I know something isn't right, I'd be a poor fellow to come here and not tell you. Isn't that right? If I had something that could save your soul and save your life, and I knew that I could do it, and I knew that you didn't know, I'd be a deceitful man to walk off and leave you in a dying condition, wouldn't I? All right, let's just analyze a few things tonight and see where we're going. Every one of us as a whole in the church, we believe that the Lord, all of a sudden, somewhere, going to break through the clouds of glory and come down and rapture the church. Isn't that right? Thessalonians, so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen.
You Bible scholars say amen and shut up.
Amen.
That's right. Say, Brother Pike, shut up. Amen. Hallelujah. I said, we everyone believe that that's what's going to happen. Isn't it right? Then we believe that after this life, that every person shall appear before the great white throne of judgment, don't we? We believe that every one of us will be there. How many believe that?
Amen.
The Bible said, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, and everyone shall appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Is that Bible?
Amen.
All right, now we believe that. We believe that we're going to stand there before that great white throne of judgment, and God's going to judge us according to the deeds done in the body, and He's going to reward us if we have lived the life of Christ, and if we haven't, then God is going to turn us into hell. We believe that, don't we?
Amen.
All right, now listen. I'm going to ask you a question tonight. Is it possible that the whole church world is blind and asleep and can't see and don't know where they're going? Even at the very best, is it possible? All right. I want to ask you a question tonight just to feel around a little bit to see where we're at. Do you actually believe that you're going to stand before the great white throne of judgment for God to find out or to decide whether or not you're fit to go to heaven? Come on, Bible scholars. Let me know where you're living tonight. Hallelujah. If you're living on Glory Avenue, say amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I say that judgment begins at the house of God. I said my doctrine is that judgment begins at the house of God. And my doctrine is whosoever sins the minister remits shall be remitted. And whosoever sins the minister retains shall be retained. That's what I preach. Hallelujah. I teach that that's the only judgment that you're ever going to see as far as deciding your sins. Hallelujah. Somebody would say, now wait a minute, Brother Pike, if that's so, we better have more respect for the house of God and the preacher. I thought we was going to have another go-around here after a while, and somebody said, when I get over there, I'm going to have just as good a chance as you got. You know, that's the old argument. But I want to tell you something tonight, folks, it ain't at all like that. I said, it ain't at all like that. The Bible said, preach the word, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. It isn't at all like that. I want to ask you something tonight and let you reason it out for yourself. Do you really truly believe that God is going to rapture your church? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? If God does rapture the church, do you believe that God is going to rapture the church, marry the church, save the church, dwell with them 1,000 years in the millennium, the restored earth, and then after that take them before the great white throne of judgment to see if they're good enough to be a Christian? Everybody believes that, raise your hand. I said everybody believes that, raise your hand. The Bible said the great white throne of judgment will be after the millennium. That's right. John said, behold, I saw the Ancient of Days, from whom the whole earth fled away, and I saw the great white throne judgment, and the sea gave up its dead, the Bible said, and the mountains and the earth fled away. And there was no place found for them. Hallelujah. I said, by then the saints has already had a jubilee with Christ for 1,000 years. Now we're going to bring them before the judgment throne. I said, he's already married them, already had the wedding supper, already come back dressed in the white raiment, and now he's going to see whether they're good enough to be Christians or not. Come on, folks. Come on, folks. Do we believe what we're teaching? I said, do we believe what we're teaching? Come on. Hallelujah. Where are we going? I said the judgment starts right now. It's according to your faith in God's Word. It's not the preacher that's preaching, but the Heavenly Father that speaketh from within him. And according to your believing in the word of the voice that comes forth, God remits your sins by your faith in that voice of that word. In the beginning was God the Word. And your faith in God the Word, the voice that's speaking to you, is where it's determined whether or not you're going or not going. That's how he remits your sins. That's how he takes them away. Somebody said, well, I believe there's more to it than that. The writer said, show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith when I get baptized. Come on, folks. I said, somebody said, I believe. Another said, I'll be baptized. And the Bible said, which one of these done the will of the Father? Are you listening? The preacher said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Not half of you, not the overseer, not the pastor, but every one of you. Said, for it's unto you and unto the overseers. I said, it's unto the church of God and unto the assemblies and unto the Catholics. For he said, it's unto you and unto your children and all that be afar off. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That takes and every one of them done it. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, he wasn't talking about me. Well, I'll tell you what, you ought to wish he had. Because if he wasn't talking about you, that means you're left out. Said, all that he calls, he must not call you. You love the Lord? Somebody said, well, Brother Park, I know that God called me. But the Bible said, many are called, but few are chosen. The call is let whosoever will, but the chosen ones are the elect. Is that right? You love the Lord? A lot of people get called to the ministry, but they're never chosen for the ministry because they don't accept the calling. They don't shape their lives. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? All right. Then I say that God is getting the people ready. I said the other night, I don't serve God to try to go to heaven. I don't do good things to try to get his favor. I don't try to live what we call a Christian life so I can make it in. I try to live holy, to shape in my life to please God as gratitude toward God for what he did for me in Christ Jesus at Calvary, wherein he saved my soul, and I'm thankful. Hallelujah. If it's going to take what few beggarly things that I can do to get me to heaven, I'm in bad shape. You love the Lord? I tell you, folks, we are not going before any judgment throne of God for God to judge us. The Bible said, know ye not that the saints shall judge the world. How in the world God's going to judge us when we're supposed to judge the world? You say, don't you believe we're going to appear before the judgment? I definitely believe we'll appear there before the judgment, and we'll stand right there with God looking on the world, and we'll judge every one of them with God through their mistreatments. The Bible said, inasmuch as you did to one of the least of these, my brethren, you done it to me. Is that right? When you mistreat these people, you mistreat the body of Jesus Christ. It's marked up against you in heaven. And when the saints of God stand there, you're going to be judged according. He's going to say, I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. I was sick in prison and you didn't visit me. Is that right? And the saints of God said, yay, amen. They done it to me. He said, those books was the sons and daughters of God. You say, Brother Pack, I'm not a book, but the Bible said you're an epistle. It's known and read of all men. I write my laws upon the table of your heart. The love of God constrains me, and I walk in the way. Hallelujah. And the Bible said the books was open. For the saints were to judge the world. And they were judged out of everything written in the books. Hallelujah. The writer said, my tongue is a pen of a ready writer. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? The old kings of old, they sent out a decree, you know. They'd send it out through the land and say, it's got to be like this. But unless that seal was on there, it wasn't official. The Bible said, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed by the great King with the ring of redemption. Is that right? Sealed in your spirit to the day of the redeeming of the body. Is that right? While we wait for the redemption of the body. Is that right? Hallelujah. If you don't have the Holy Ghost tonight, you're not official. Somebody said, well, bless God, I believe you can get in two or three ways. There ain't but one way. I said, there ain't but one way. Somebody said, all you got to do is believe, Brother Pike. The Bible said the devil believes too, but he didn't make it in. I got something else that he said here, and it wasn't just believe. He said, if you have not my spirit, you're not of mine. And the Bible said, it's one spirit. I said, just one spirit. That's the Holy Ghost spirit. And he said, if you haven't got that spirit, you're not official because the seal's not on it. Somebody said, I'm a believer, but you're not official because you're not stamped. You follow me? Hallelujah. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, because if you're sealed, your body's going to be redeemed. Is that right? If the pears ain't sealed, then the goodies spoil, don't they? Hallelujah. That's why the lady seals them. They might be good parents, but they're no good at the end of the time when she gets ready to use them unless it had a seal. Is that right? You might be a good vessel. You might have an experience with God. But if you don't get the Holy Ghost, I guarantee you the devil will spoil you before it's over. Come on, folks. Hallelujah. The Bible said another book was open, didn't it? It said the books was open and then the book. Hallelujah. I said it said and then the book was open. Isn't that right? Said the books was open and then the book was open. Is that right? In other words, the membership of the body was open, and then he said, we got around to the head to see what the head had to say about it. Said, when he the book. I said, when Jesus, the book of life, was open. Amen. The Bible said, he the volume of the book. For Jesus said, I come in the volume of the book, as is written of me, O God, to do thy will. And when God hung it at Calvary, he rent it in two and opened it up. And the Bible said, the ark of his testimony was there. Is that right? I said, and the book of life was open. Are you listening? That book of life was Jesus Christ. There's never been but one book of life, and that was his blood. There's no remission without the shedding of the blood. And there is no identity with the remission of the blood without the name from whom the blood came. I said, you made heir to the redemption in the blood through the name Jesus Christ from which it came. The only way to be heir to that blood is to call on his name. The writer said, be baptized calling on the name of the Lord. Is that right? He said, it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, go over to the street, call straight, get Ananias over there. And Ananias said, Paul, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name. Are you listening? And Paul said, if we're buried with him in baptism, we're resurrected in the newness of life. Is that right? For if we're identified with him in his death, then we're identified with him in the power of his resurrection. Come on, folks. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I've been baptized in the name of the Father. That's good. That's good. It could have been the rose of Sharon. It might have been butter. But that didn't remit no sin for you. Because the Father didn't die for you, and the rose of Sharon didn't die for you. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, I've been baptized in the name of the Son. That's good. That's fine. A lot of sons in here, I'm sure the church is full of them. I'm a son myself. I got a daddy. But the name son can't help you because that's not what died for you. Hallelujah. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, I've been baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost, and that's good. But the only thing is somebody misled you because the Bible said when he'd come in the name Jesus, so he can't get to you except through the name. See? Because it wasn't the Holy Ghost that died for you. You love the Lord? Hallelujah. But the Bible said that there is remission in the name Jesus. Are you listening? As my Father has sent me, so send I you. Who? Brother Leon Wilson. Brother George Pine. Brother Delma Baldwin. Brother Franklin Taylor. As God has sent me, so send I you, Brother Taylor and Brother Leon. Amen. Jesus said, as my Father sent me, I'm sending you. Said, whosoever sins you remit, Brother Leon, shall be remitted. Is that right? Say, how are you going to do it, Brother Leon? Said, there's remission in none of the names. I'm going to take the name and do it. Is that right? Somebody said, by what? He said, be baptized in water for the remission. Is that right? If you got the man that's commissioned to remit, and you got the name in which remission is, all you got to do is find the water that's the grave by which you do the remitting and put them in there and put them all three together, you got remission of sin. Somebody said, but I'm saved with faith. That's faith manifested, my brother. The Bible said, show me your faith by your works. How many believe you got to do a little work to prove you got any belief? Somebody said, don't you know I believe in Acts 2:38? No, because I've never seen you fulfill it. Hallelujah. You know, your wife say, I love you. I love you. And she does everything contrary to what you say. Come on. I said, that wife, she said, I love you. But say, honey, I didn't want you to do what you've done. Yeah, well, that little old thing don't make any difference. You know I love you. But Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If that wife loves you, she'll do what you tell her. Come on, ladies. Amen. I said, if you love him, you'll do what you told her. Amen. Is that right? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Somebody said, what is the commandment? Peter said, I command you to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. How many of you believe that was the Holy Ghost that said that through the mouth of Peter? Come on, folks. How many believe that he had the keys to the kingdom? How many believe he knew what he was talking about? I said the other night, if you don't believe this, get the overseer to come over to my house and show me any other place where Matthew 28 was fulfilled other than Acts 2:38. I said there's no record in the Bible where it was ever fulfilled except in the Acts of the Apostles. If they didn't fulfill it, then that means that everything is void. We might as well throw our Bibles in the river and quit. If the first foundation of the church was no good and refused to do what God told them, ain't no need of us trying. Come on. Give me just about 5-10 more minutes. I'm going to make a change. I said last night, the Bible said when Jesus was resurrected from the dead, he appointed a certain mountain where he'd meet him. Is that right? Come on, folks. He said, I'll meet you over there in that mountain. Judas done committed suicide because he didn't believe in baptism in Jesus' name. Come on. I said, Judas committed. Somebody said, Bopai, surely you don't believe that. I sure do. I sure do. I said he committed suicide because he didn't believe in baptism in Jesus' name. Somebody said, bless God, I've been waiting for this. I got it now. I can show it to you now, he said. Everybody believes that a man that really believed in baptism in Jesus' name for the remission of sin would go out and betray the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to raise your hand. See, now, if you don't believe, that means we're all in agreement, so don't go to the overseer. Hallelujah. The Bible said if you bid at God's feet, you're partakers of it, and every one of you agreed with me. They tell me that when you don't raise your hand, that means you're in agreement. Nobody that believed in the name Jesus could do any harm to him. Amen, it couldn't do any harm to him. I'm going to tell you something here. There's a brother over in Atlanta, Georgia. Brother Jimmy Mayo, one of the biggest operators in the Assembly of God, got a huge church. I mean, a sure enough church. Hallelujah. Over in a neighboring town, they put a preacher on the spot that was Assembly of God. He got the light on baptism in Jesus' name, and he baptized his whole flock. Are you listening? So they said, we'll put you out of the Assemblies of God. The people said, if you do, we'll go with him, and you won't have no Assembly of God here. So he told us the truth. I love people who stand with the pastor, don't you? Especially told the truth. Amen. So they said, we don't know what to do. We better take it before a board. So they took it before the board and they got up there in Atlanta, Georgia, in that great, huge Assembly of God of Jimmy Mayo's. And they got up and they put the ball on the carpet and they nailed him down. About time they thought they had everything open and closed, you know. Jimmy Mayo stepped up and he said, well, one thing I'd like to know. He said, baptism in Jesus' name. So that's Bible. I'd like to know what's wrong with it. And they all sat down and turned the case loose. They couldn't buck him. He was too big. He's too influential. He got too many followers. Couldn't do anything about it. Hallelujah. I said, God's going to have his way, folks. God's a big God. When God gets ready to do something, God's going to do it. Amen. Hallelujah. Like a great man of God not too long ago went to them. And this is going to bounce back at me. Went to the Assemblies of God not too long ago, and one of the great leaders said, I want to ask you a question. Said, why do you preach that speaking in tongues is the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost? Said, come on, give me an answer. The man said, well, to tell you the truth, we know better. Said, but we can't convince the Assembly of God. Said, we got it started on that, and we can't even change it. Said, they won't even listen to us. Are you listening, folks? I said, do we really know where we're going? Do we really know who's leading us? Do we really know what we believed? The Bible said a divided kingdom can't stand. Are you listening? I said, if I tell you one thing and I'm doing another, we're not going to get along to do it. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you jumped the gun then. No, I'm still in the same old path. The Bible said, as for the old path, walk therein, you'll fight and rest on yourself. You say, do you believe in speaking in tongues? Paul said, I speak in tongues more than all of you. I speak in tongues and interpret too. Do you interpret? Prophesy too. Pray for the sick too. Have discernment too. God, give it to me. You love the Lord? Hallelujah. I'm going to say this and try to close. When Jesus was resurrected, Judas committed suicide. He realized he had done wrong. There was 11 disciples that went to this certain mountain called the Mount of Olivet. They stood there and Jesus Christ met them, being resurrected from the dead. When he met them, he said to them, 11 disciples, he said, go ye in all the world. Now the first place he said for them to go, now listen, just so we don't get mixed up. The first place he said for them to go when they started their trip into all the world
was to go over here at Jerusalem one Sabbath day's journey from where he was standing and tarry till they be endued with power from on high. Is that right? Now we don't get confused. He said, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Is that right? I've made the statement there ain't no other way to baptize except in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. There ain't no other way to baptize except that name. That's the only way there is. And Jesus said, now you go baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, and said before you start your crusade, he said, you go one Sabbath day's journey from here to them over here to the upper room in Jerusalem, and said, you all stay there together till the Holy Ghost comes back, which is my spirit. How do you believe the Holy Ghost is Christ's spirit? Amen. It's the spirit of Christ. It's what the Holy Ghost is the spirit of Christ. When he, the spirit of the word, is coming, Jesus was the word. When the spirit of Christ comes, it'll testify of Christ. Your spirit testifies of you. His spirit testifies of him. He said, when the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, comes, he'll testify of me. Isn't that right? All right, now here he was. He went back over there before they started the crusade. Here come the Holy Ghost like a mighty rushing wind. I'd love to say something on Revelation there if I just had the time, but I ain't got the time. Here the Holy Ghost came and it fell on each one of them, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Isn't that right? And one night we'd like to say a little something on tongues if we could. But here it come back and it fell on each of them. Now listen. Old Peter waxed bold when he come out of that upper room. He started to preach. Isn't that right? Peter started preaching, and Peter got up. Come on now. You got your Bibles? You got your Bibles? I don't want to jump the gun now. Oh, brother Peter got up, and Peter said, every one of you repent and be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost for remission of sin.
Oh, he didn't say that.
Come on, folks. I said, the Lord said, Peter, go over and tell them how to be baptized, and I'll give you the keys to the kingdom. Peter said, every one of you folks be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost for remission of sin. Come on, folks. Didn't say that. Got a Bible scholar. He didn't say that, did he? All right, now, Brother Peter, Paul had a controversy with you, and he blamed you to your face, caused you to be blamed. Was that what he blamed him for? That wasn't what he blamed him for, was it? Paul blamed him because he's taking the name Jesus out and turning back to the law, wasn't it? Amen. Said he's making Christ die in vain. Isn't that right? All right, now, Brother Peter, I got a controversy with you. Why come you over here preaching to them people baptism in Jesus' name? When God told Brother Pike to go over here and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Come on, folks. I said, Brother Leon Wilson, what are you doing baptizing in Jesus' name when God told the Assemblies of God to go baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Come on, folks. Come on. Somebody said, Brother Pike, Peter just didn't do what God told him. Well, that means the key wasn't no good. I said, if he didn't obey, we might as well have quit, hadn't we? Don't you agree? We might as well have quit. If Peter didn't get it right, I'm sure we're not going to make it. And what makes it so bad, the Bible said Peter stood up and preached it, and every one of the 11 gave their voice to it, and 3,000 was added to the church, and every one of them continued steadfastly in the apostle doctrine. Come on, folks. Amen. Can't you see the state overseer of the Assembly of God and the Church of God and the UPCN Pentecostal and whatever you got going down there and say, look, this ain't right. I mean, can't you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Get the state overseers together and say, now, wait a minute, Peter, let's find out what you mean here. Don't you know that you're interrupting all of our organized work here? That it took us years to build this thing up here, and in one verse you're preaching and tearing it all down? What do you mean? You know where the trouble is? I'll tell you where it is. The Bible said, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone of offense. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. He said, I'm going to lay a foundation and let every man take heed how he build on this foundation, because there's not going to be another foundation. Is that right? And said, Jesus Christ is going to be the chief cornerstone. Is that right? And said, Paul the apostle with the revelation was going to be the chief master builder. Is that right? Going to build a church with a revelation. Is that right? Going to use Jesus Christ for a chief cornerstone. Is that right? And old brother Abraham said, I'm searching for a city who's got foundations. How do you know this world ain't got no foundation? Science found out it's just floating around there. It's just another one of the big part of the galaxies. Is that right? But old Abraham said, I heard about a city.
and said it had foundations. Said one of the foundations was named Peter, and one of the name of the foundations was named John. And he said it had 12 foundations in that beautiful city, and said it's the only city ever heard of that ever had a foundation. And the foundation is sure it'll never pass away. He said, I'm seeking that city with foundations. And Paul said, Christ laid the foundation of the 12 apostles, and the 12 apostles of the church, and 83,000 of the church. And tonight we got to build on that foundation. Come on, folks. Come on, folks. If there's any other place in the Bible where they ever fulfilled Matthew 28, I want you to tell me where it was. In the 8th chapter, they baptized in Jesus' name, old brother Philip. In the 10th chapter, they baptized in Jesus' name, old brother Peter. In the 19th chapter, they baptized in Jesus' name, old brother Paul. And there's no record where anybody ever baptized anybody else at any time except in the name of Jesus Christ. I said from Genesis to Revelation, there's not one place in this Bible where they ever baptized anybody in any name except the name Jesus Christ. They did baptize people in the Red Sea unto Moses, and John did baptize them under repentance, but there wasn't a name used. There's only one name for remission of sin, that's Jesus Christ. The God that sent me to preach the kingdom of God in the name Jesus. Said Philip, preach the kingdom of God in the name Jesus. That's the only message he had. Was the kingdom of God is at hand, and the name Jesus is the door into it. You love the Lord? Stand with me if you will. Hallelujah. I thank God for Brother Leon Wilson, a man of God, that loves his people enough to stand up against the opposition, the persecution, and what people can do to him, not being afraid that they'll turn him out of the synagogue to declare the name of the only begotten Son of God. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Lord must have liked what we said tonight, because I feel him going up and down the avenue of my soul. I feel the Holy Ghost moving. Hallelujah. They sang that song, Jesus on the Main Line, tell him what you want. Hallelujah. Call him up and tell him what you want. I really believe he's on the Main Line, don't you? I feel a revival, don't you? I feel the real, genuine Spirit of God. I feel something taking place. Because the Bible said when they gathered the name of Jesus, that the Spirit come down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 All right, let's sing that little chorus. We'll give the glory to Jesus. He's the only one that deserves it anyway. Amen. Hallelujah. Give me another key, sister. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. Just lift your hands up, will you? Jesus. To Jesus, and we'll give all the glory to Jesus, and we'll sing of his wonder for love. Loving tomorrow night, the Lord will. I'm gonna try my best to pray for the sick tomorrow night, and I believe God's gonna heal some people tomorrow night. If you're sick, I believe with all of my soul that he'll genuinely heal you. I believe it. I believe it. But let's sing that little chorus again tonight, can we? And we'll give all the glory to Jesus.